Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is enunciating the glories of the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. For the enlightenment and the ultimate well-being of all living beings who are suffering in this age of Kali Yuga. This is an age of great sorrow, an age of catastrophe, an age of quarrel and hypocrisy. It is a time in the history of man where at the slightest provocation, best friends, well-wishers, family members, lovers, become bitter enemies. Why? Because people are so overcome with greed and with pride that nothing is sacred that stands in the way of their sense gratification. And it is for this reason there is so much crime and so much conflict. But this disease is so deeply rooted within the hearts of all living beings that despite so many endeavors, individually, collectively, nationally, internationally, the problems are increasing and the miseries and sorrows are increasing. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur begins his song that I am singing news of something very joyful, of happy tidings. Lord Nityananda himself has opened a marketplace of the holy name in Surabhi Kunja. The news of its great results is that he is selling the pure holy name in that marketplace for the price of only one's faith. Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are the Yuga avatars. They have come so mercifully, most mercifully, to distribute that great gift by which everyone can attain the supreme joy of prema bhakti, pure devotional service. And generally in a marketplace, you get what you pay for. Usually, when we pay a less price, we regret in the future because it isn't the quality that we expect. And if you want something that relatively will last and endure and be efficient, you have to pay high price. But the greatest gift, the greatest commodity in all creation, Lord Nityananda is selling. And he's opening his marketplace for everyone to come and accept it. Why do we buy anything in this world? Because we think that it will bring us joy, and we believe it will relieve us of distress. Our whole life is motivated by these two principles, seeking joy and seeking relief from distress or some security from some future distress. That is why we buy clothes. That is why there are fashions. We think that by looking very fashionable, people will like us and that will bring us joy. But usually if you look nice, instead of liking you, they're envious of you. That's the ways of the material world. You spend so much money to buy a new car, or have a nice home, or have nice clothes, or have a beautiful body, thinking that I'll be happy because people will like me so much if I have these things. They'll be attracted to me. But the result is they hate you and they're envious of you. and socially, with a facade of smile on their face, they say, oh, how beautiful you are. But in their heart, they're thinking, I hope you die. Or they say, oh, what a wonderful, nice car you have. It's so nice, so shiny, and so expensive. I'm so glad for you. But in their hearts, they're thinking, I hope you crash and destroy yourself. Because I should have a better car. Why you? Why not me? Huh? It's the material world. Whatever we try to attain by our material efforts, we get the opposite. But it appears, very superficially, that we're getting what we want. So we are spending so much money on so many things of this world, giving so much of our energy, trying to pay the price, because we're hoping that we'll get some happiness and we will avoid pain and suffering. But, as Krishna says in Gita, Abhrama bhuvana loka punara avartanorjuna mam upejatu konteya punara janamana vijyate. That even if you work so hard that you attain residence in Brahma Loka, it's a place of misery. This material world is by nature a place of misery. Samashita ye padapalavaplavam mahatpadam pundyagasho muradi bhavam buddhirvatsa padam 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 yadvi padam natesh. But Nityananda Prabhu and his associates, his representatives, the Vaishnavas, they are selling that commodity which will bring us eternal joy, which will eternally liberate us from all sorrow, even from the repetition of birth and death. It will bring us to that level of loving relationship where we intimately engage in the service of the all-beautiful, all-merciful personality of Godhead, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, in the eternal land of Vrindavan. How much we work and save to get to pay at the airport for an airline's ticket to London, a dirty, foggy place, famous for Jack the Ripper and all sorts of other personalities. It's cold and rainy. Or we pay our hard-earned money to get a ticket to New York, where you'll be approached by prostitutes and drug dealers. And if you don't lock your doors and put bars on your windows, you'll probably be raped or killed or robbed. And we're paying so much money for this. But Lord Nityananda is giving us ticket to Goloka Vrindavan, the spiritual world, where there is no smog, and there is no fog, and there are no criminals, there's no mosquitoes or rats, no malaria. There is the beautiful Govardhan Hill and the river Jamuna, and every tree is a Kalpavriksha tree. Chintamani prakata shatma sukalpa vriksha laksha vriteshu shurabira pipalayantam lakshmi sahasra sata sambrama sevyamanam govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. With the all beautiful supreme reservoir of all love, Sri Krishna is eternally playing upon his flute with his eternal consort, the goddess of all devotion and love, Srimati Radhika Rani. And there we can eternally assist them in their loving pastimes. The enactment of Krishna's wonderful pastimes in this world are the most attractive and beautiful of all goals to achieve. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu is selling us the ticket to that holy land in the form of the holy name of Krishna.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Ram! Hare Ram! Ram Ram! Hare Hare!
And the only price that we have to pay is one's faith. By associating with devotees regularly and hearing from them with submissive and attentive hearts, naturally that faith awakens. Lord Nityananda, the proprietor of the market, seeing all the devotees becoming attracted, is selling them the holy name after bargaining with them. O brother, if you want to buy the holy name, then go with me. We must go to the presence of that great soul, Nityananda Prabhu. You will buy the name of Krishna. I will take my commission, and all of our desires will be fulfilled. What is the commission that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is speaking of? It is not a commission of this material world. The commission that Bhaktivinoda is speaking of is he will see that Lord Nityananda Prabhu is pleased with him. That is all he wants, is just to please the Lord. If the Lord is happy and he smiles, that is the supreme goal of our life. We want nothing else. Na danam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janamani janamanishwari bhavatad bhakti rahoite khitvayu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us this understanding of bhakti. We should not want wealth, material wealth of this world, which is the source of so much pain. We should not want to enjoy beautiful women or beautiful men, nor fame and distinction, nor even liberation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my happiness is simply to please you by being your servant birth after birth after birth. Ashlisya vapadratam panashtumam madarshanam maramahatam karotuva yatatatato viditatu malampato matprananatatu se eva naparaha. My Lord, you can do anything you like with me. You can embrace me. You can kick me. You can make me brokenhearted by not being present before me. But I am your servant, and you are my Lord birth after birth after birth, in any situation. The gopis were willing to go to hell for the rest of eternity if they could give Krishna 1 second of relief from his headache. The only commission a devotee wants from his service is just to know that Guru Maharaj, the Vaishnavas, and Krishna are pleased with me. If they are happy, that is my success. That is my reward. We desire nothing else. And a devotee is willing to perform any sacrifice simply for Krishna's pleasure. Lord Nityananda is greatly merciful. Taking only one's faith, he gives the highest ecstasy. If Nitai sees only once tears in the eyes while chanting the name Gora, then he gives all resources to that person. Sri Nityananda Prabhu could understand that the pastimes of Radha and Krishna are practically entirely misunderstood in this material world, in this age of Kali Yuga. Because to have even the slightest real conception of the conjugal love affairs of Radha and Krishna, one must be completely free of all material aspirations. There must be no more lust or envy or pride or anger or greed or illusion in our hearts. And at that time of anartha nivritti, when all the impurities are cleansed from our minds completely, then we can begin the actual process of understanding the love of Vrindavan. Therefore, most people who approach the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, they do it in such a way that it's full of mundane sentiment, mundane misconception, and they don't really spiritually progress toward that goal. In fact, oftentimes, they commit offense. But Lord Nityananda understood the secret that Radha and Krishna have both come in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his wonderful pastimes are so easy to understand because he was in the form of a sannyasi and he was playing the role of a devotee performing bhajan and sadhana and just giving the mercy of the holy name to everyone.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And therefore, by chanting the holy names of Krishna in the service of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, we are factually directly engaged in the loving service of Radha and Krishna without offense, without misconception. And we become purified and elevated to that highest standard simply by taking the mercy of Gauranga and chanting the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Therefore, Nityananda Prabhu, he would chant this beautiful bhajan wherever he went. Bhaja Gauranga, kaho Gauranga, laho Gaurange naam re. Je jana Gauranga bhaje, se hai mora pran re.
Je jana Gauranga bhaje, se hai mora pran re.
Bhaja Gauranga, kaho Gauranga, laho Gaurange naam re. Je channa Gauranga baje, se hai mora pran re.
Je channa Gauranga baje, se hai mora pran re.
Bhaja Gauranga, kaho Gauranga, laho Gaurange naam re. Je jana Gauranga baje, se hai mora pran re.
Je jana Gauranga baje, se hai mora pran re.
The tears that Lord Nityananda Prabhu is waiting to see within our eyes are the tears of that genuine, pure desire to serve the Lord. Today, people take this idea very cheaply of tears in the eyes. If you go to a cinema where there are good actors and such tragedy takes place, everyone cries. You have seen? But that does not mean that they have attained bhava by watching the movie. Although they're crying. Or most Matajis, if something goes wrong in their life, I know because I see it often, they start to cry. But it's not that they have attained bhava. It's just that they're usually bewildered and confused about some domestic affair in their family. And there are, actually, and I'm speaking honestly, there are big, big people who pose themselves as gurus, and they actually teach their disciples and their followers that when you're chanting in kirtan, or when you're hearing the pravachan of Radha and Krishna's lila, you should force yourself to cry. You should just, with all your power and all your strength, somehow or other, just get some water out of your eyes. And they practice. They're sitting there. And somehow or other, some water comes out, and everyone, Hariva! But there's so much water in the sewers, too. It's not. And after years of practice, of just forcing tears out of the eye, they actually become expert. And at any time, they can just start trembling and tears start flowing. And that's when everyone knows that you have attained bhava. Really, there are people who teach like this. And you go into their assembly, and the people who've been around, who have more practice, they're just weeping and weeping and weeping and howling. And Srila Prabhupada and the great acharyas say that those tears wash away all the conclusions of the Vedic scriptures. That is not the type of tears Nityananda Prabhu are speaking of. He are speaking of those tears which come directly from the heart, out of humility. Those tears which cannot be controlled even if we try our hardest. Those tears which we, even if we try to hold them back, they must come because we have such a longing for the humble service of the Lord that we want nothing else in life. We are so grateful that our Gurudev has given us the beautiful gift of the holy name that we can't help from weeping. Weeping in a mood of longing to serve. He gives the pure teachings of Krishna to everyone and does not care for one's birth, wealth, knowledge, and strength. Now giving up the illusory snare of Maya, either remain in household life or in the forest as a sannyasi, for no more trouble remain. There is no more fear of the age of Kali. The merciful Nityananda gives the holy name to even the chandalas. Bhaktivinod calls out, except for the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, there is no other shelter. There is a beautiful story. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living in Jagannath Puri Dham, he instructed Lord Nityananda Prabhu to go to Bengal to spread the glories of the holy name. Although Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is none other than Sri Balaramji, Balarama Hoilo Nitai, He was the inseparable associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His life, his soul, his everything was simply pleasing him. And Lord Nityananda, or Lord Chaitanya, told him to go away. It is a higher principle to please the Lord's instruction than to simply remain in his personal association. So Lord Nityananda Prabhu bore the incredible anguish of separation from Mahaprabhu in order to fulfill his desire. And he went to Bengal along with many of his wonderful associates and began to preach the glories of the chanting of the Maha Mantra. He went to Sridhar Mayapur. There, he was residing in a beautiful home. And he was, throughout the day and throughout the night, along with his associates, preaching the glories of Mahaprabhu's Leela and Radha Krishna's Leela. But most of all, he was inducing everyone to come and join the beautiful kirtan of the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And just as previously he delivered Jagai and Madhai, he was always searching for ways to transform the hearts of even the most wicked and sinful. In his ecstasy of divine love, he would allow his devotees to decorate him with beautiful garlands of flowers and even jewelry, which was very precious, very elegant, diamonds, gold, silver. In Navadvip at that time, there was a Brahmin. At least he was born in a Brahmin family. But due to association with low-class, sinful people, when I say low-class, I mean low-class lifestyle, he became contaminated. You are what you associate with. Whoever you may be given the most wonderful, fantastic opportunity in the most pious family. But if you associate with sinful people, you lose all your pious credits and you become sinful inevitably. There are so many examples of this. Even Krishna's own son, Bhomasura, was Krishna's son. He was born of the union between Varahadev, the boar incarnation, and the earth. When Lord Varahadev carried the earth on his tusks, by his merciful transcendental potency, he impregnated the earth with the sun, who became Bhomasura. And actually, he was raised in a pure atmosphere with great piety. But somehow or other, he became good friends with King Vena, who was a very sinful man. And therefore, Bhoma became an asura. And ultimately, Krishna himself had to kill his own son just to protect the devotees from his rascaldom. So this Brahmin, due to association with very materialistically minded people, he became a dacoit. And he rose through the ranks until, because of his cruelty and his evil, clever ways of exploiting, undermining, and destroying others, he became the leader of the most
the most dangerous and feared band of dacoits. And he had killed anybody and anyone for any amount of wealth without thinking twice. He was a first-class murderer. He would eat anything, he would do anything that would please his senses. So he heard that there was this Nityananda Prabhu who was having chanting and dancing. And he sent a spy into the house. And that spy came out and he said, "Huh, this Nityananda Prabhu, he has necklace with diamonds that he wears. And he has silver ankle bells and armlets of gold and rubies and emeralds." And the dacoits were so excited. "Ah, very good, very good." So they planned that night, after the kirtan ended, they would break in the house, they would kill everybody, and they would steal the jewels. So they went and they sat under a tree. And the kirtan was going on. And as they were waiting, all the dacoits fell fast asleep. Before falling asleep, they were bargaining with each other. That I get the necklace with the diamonds. Well, I'm going to take the silver ankle bells. Well, I'm going to take the bracelets. And they were just making all their plans, and they were just thinking of all the wonderful ways they're going to spend the money. And by the power of Maya, they fell asleep. And when they woke up, the sun was up, and everyone was walking all around. They thought, "What's happened? This has never happened before. We lost the chance." And the leader of the dacoits, he said, "Ah, it is because we did not worship the goddess Chandi by offering her the blood of a goat that we did not get her favor." So after some nights, they did their yajna for Chandi Devi. They offered her wine, and they slaughtered goats. And then they were all prepared, feeling that they were sufficiently empowered for this seva. That night, they were waiting outside, and they saw these soldiers. They were huge. They were like 10 feet tall, and they had gigantic, muscular bodies like mountains. And there were just so many of them, and they were just walking around the house loudly with deep voices, chanting the holy names. Dacoits were thinking, any one of these soldiers can destroy all of us in a moment. What is this? And the Brahmin leader said, don't be discouraged. There must be some king or some royal personality who is visiting Nityananda and they're guarding, but the king will go away and the soldiers will go away. So after a few days, they were watching every night. After a few nights, the soldiers were gone. Now is the time. We will kill Lord Nityananda and steal his jewels. But they did not understand the real jewel that Lord Nityananda was carrying. So what they did is they took their best weapons, weapons of death, and they entered quietly into the house. And to their great astonishment, all of a sudden, they all lost their eyesight. they became blind. And they just started walking, and they didn't know where they were going. And some of them just walked outside of the house, and they fell into the ditch around the house, and they fell in, and they broke their arms and legs and their limbs, and they were just laying there. And then leeches and mosquitoes and worms and all sorts of insects started just covered their bodies and started eating them. And they were crying in terrible misery, and they couldn't even see. They didn't know where they were or what was happening. And others, they fell into the stool pits. And they were laying in the stool pit with their bones broken, and scorpions started to sting them, and worms began to bite them, and leeches began to suck their blood. And others, they just walked into these thorn bushes where they fell into these sharp, hard thorns, and every part of their body was being pierced. And they had so many thorns in them that they couldn't move. They were just laying there in terrible agony. And then thunder and dark clouds. They were still blind. And then it became freezing cold out, ice cold, and it started pouring rain. And the rain was just thrashing against them and thrashing and thrashing. And then it got colder and colder and colder until all the rain turned into huge ice balls of hail. And they were just flying down at high velocity, and these ice was just smashing them and beating them. And meanwhile, the insects were biting them, and their bones were being broken, and they were in total agony and distress, and they were still blind. Arrivo. And then the leader of the dacoits began to think. This Nityananda Prabhu must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He must be the Supreme Personality. Look at how I'm suffering now. And in that condition of great distress, he began to think back about all he's done in his life, all the atrocities, all the pain he's caused others, all the sinful activities he has indulged in, and he began to repent. He began to regret his whole life. And he began to pray, "Oh Lord Nityananda, I am the most sinful of all sinners. Not only am I the most sinful of all sinners, but my aim in life was to kill you. But now I beg your forgiveness. My only hope and my only shelter is your causeless mercy. I fall at your lotus feet. Please, Lord Nityananda, oh my Lord and Master, please forgive me. Please let me engage in your loving service. I will never do these things again." He began to worship Lord Nityananda in his heart of hearts, knowing him to be so merciful and so kind that even a sinner like him could be delivered. And he began to cry. No longer was he crying out of distress, but he was crying out of humility. And the other dacoits, upon hearing his prayers to Lord Nityananda, the same realization had awakened in their hearts. And they all began to just cry out for the mercy of Lord Nityananda. At that time, they were able to see. And the storm had ended. And all of the gnats and the scorpions and the leeches and the other insects went their own way. By that time, it was just about the morning. They had been suffering all night long. Then they all went to the river Ganges to take bath and to offer oblations to purify themselves. And then they all went to the house of Lord Nityananda. He was sitting on an asana, and they all fell down prostrate, weeping tears, begging him to forgive them. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he gave the leader of the dacoits his garland. He placed it around his neck. And he said that, my dear Lord Nityananda Prabhu, let me tell you what has happened to me the last three times that I tried to see you. He explained how we slept, how we saw those massive guards, how we fell in such despair last night. I could understand that this was all your mercy to wake me up from my illusion that I am the enjoyer and to again give me the realization that I am your eternal servant. My dear Lord Nityananda, I have committed so much pain to others, so many sins, that I feel that there's nothing I can do to rectify myself. I regret it so badly that with your permission, I want to go to the river Ganges and I want to drown myself to end this body with your blessings. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu said, in reply, with such love and affection for those who wanted to murder him, he said, my dear brothers, never again engage in sinful activities. You must take that vow. Never again. And they all took that vow right then and there to never again engage in such materialistic, irreligious activities. He said, now you accept the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has especially come to this world to deliver people like you and take his precious gift by always chanting the holy names.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! 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 Hare Hare! Hare Ram! Hare Ram! 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 Hare Hare! Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna! Krishna!
They fell at Lord Nityananda Prabhu's feet, chanting the holy names of Krishna. And at that time, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, so mercifully and graciously, he placed those lotus feet, which are the shelter of all living beings, upon the heads of those dacoits. And upon the touch of his lotus feet on their head, they were immediately cleansed of all the sins that they have committed in this life and all previous lives. And they began to tremble in ecstatic love, with choked voices, gratefully chanting the holy names.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna! Krishna!
And all of those dacoits, from that day on, they became such pure, humble servants of all the Vaishnavas. And they all chanted minimum 1,100,000 names of Krishna every day by the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. This is a confirmation of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's beautiful explanation of Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. That he is selling the perfection of life through the chanting of the holy name for only one's faith. But we should understand that we come in contact with his mercy. How he works, how the Supreme Personality of Godhead deals with our life to increase our willingness to serve him and to awaken that faith is a great mystery. Sometimes we have to go through the most unbearable and painful crises in life to really bring about that consciousness where we are willing to cry out for his mercy and do anything to receive it. Queen Kunti prayed for such disasters because they helped her to remember that this material world is not a place for me to enjoy, but the only shelter is to wholeheartedly seek the mercy of the lotus feet of the Lord. So therefore, a devotee welcomes any situation in life as the Lord's mercy and accepts every type of reversal in life as an opportunity to increase our consciousness in devotion. And really, at the time of death, that is the only thing that matters, how we have developed our Krishna consciousness. So if we are successful or if we are failures, either one, we are grateful. Prakrite kriyamana niguna karamani sara. Karamani evidakaraste mapalesu tukashtu. We must perform our duty, and we must do it with all of our ability. Whatever God has given us is meant to be utilized in his service. Krishna taught Arjuna this, that you have to fight for me because that is your duty, and you fight with all your strength and all your knowledge and everything that you have at your disposal. You use it to win this war. But whether you win or lose, that is in my hands. That is for me to decide. Whether we are success or failure, whether in our duties we meet happiness or distress, pleasure or pain, honor or dishonor, whether we have to undergo heat or cold, or even birth and death, we are willing to accept whatever comes as an opportunity to increase the intensity by which we seek shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To increase the sincerity in which we chant the holy names. Whatever helps us to intensify the sincerity of our calling out the holy name is good. And whatever causes us to forget how important it is to seek our only shelter in Krishna's name is bad. And we have to learn to evaluate our lives according to this criterion. A devotee doesn't see like a materialist. Whatever helps us to more deeply go into our devotional life, that is really good. And whatever diverts our attention too much away from it, that is bad.
So in all situations, we are meant to simply always remember Krishna. Always seek the association of Krishna's devotees. And always try to purify our hearts more and more and more. Because this Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy is not something superficial. It's very deep. It is profound. We have come here to become pure devotees of the Lord. We have not come here for material blessings. There are millions of temples in India where you can receive material blessings. And there are hundreds and thousands of sadhus and gurus in India who will give you material blessings. But Srila Prabhupada and the great acharyas in the line that he is representing, they are coming to give us prema bhakti, pure love of Krishna. That is our business. And whatever we do must be in pursuance of that goal. Whether we are sannyasis or brahmacharis or grihastas or vanaprastas, whether we are businessmen or doctors or housewives or students or farmers, we should perform our activities in such a way that our goal is one, that everything culminates in our search for those deeper realizations of pure loving devotion to the Lord. And therefore Krishna explains in Bhagavatam, Atha pumbir dvijasreshtas varnashrama vibhagasha svanushtatasya dharmasya samsadir haritoshanam, that whatever our occupational duty may be, our goal in perfection is simply to please Krishna by doing. And how do we please Krishna? Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado yasya prasada nakati kutopi. By pleasing his devotees, by pleasing Gurudev, by pleasing the great Vaishnavas, Krishna becomes pleased. It is so simple. But that must be our motivation. We should not think that my work, my occupation is in one category and my devotional life is in a separate category. We find in the life and teachings of the great saints that they integrated every aspect of their lives in devotion to Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj, when he was young, he was a brahmachari, but on the order of the Lord, he was made the king of Hiranyakashipu's kingdom, and he married, and he had children. Virochana was his son. Bali Maharaj was his grandson. He was grandfather. Usually we think of Prahlad only as a five-year-old child, but he was... But he was also grandfather. But his consciousness was the same in either situation. Because whatever he was doing, everything was integrated in the service of the Lord. The fruits of all of his activities was being offered to Krishna for Krishna's satisfaction. And we cannot fool Krishna. We cannot hide from Krishna. He is within our hearts. Ishvara sarava bhutanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtit. Saravasya cha aham hridishani vishtom atasmitir jnanam apavahanam cha. Krishna is within our hearts as the eternal witness. He knows what we're keeping aside. He knows why we're keeping it aside. He knows what we are doing for our own prestige. And he knows what we are doing for his loving service. So we have to be honest and open and genuine in the way we deal with other devotees. That is essential. To develop these type of Vaishnava relationships where we can be honest and humble and genuine in our dealings with one another,
and help one another to actually make Krishna the focus of everything we do, everything we say, and everything we think.
Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he prays here, Amani Chari Maya Jao, Grihe Thako Vani Thako Nathake Janjao. Now giving up the illusory snare of Maya, either remain in household life or in the forest as a sannyasi, for no more trouble remains. If we just accept sincerely, with faith, the gift of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, of the sincere chanting of the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Shri Nityananda Prabhu ki, Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki, Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ji ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki, Sri Harinam Sankirtan ki. Is there any questions? Are you all?